This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we've done the minor signs of Qiyamah, and inshallah today we'll start beginning with the major signs of Qiyamah. And we said the link between the two major signs, the minor and the major, is Imam Mahdi. Imam Mahdi is a minor sign, but we'll link up with the major signs. And when we start talking about the major signs of Qiyamah, and in general eschatology, this science of a branch of learning, as we I'll give you an example this evening, how easy it is for us to look at the facts and try and build a story, build a narrative in our mind that might or might not be true. And that is the nature of it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for this area of knowledge to be kept hidden, and only when the right time would the facts present themselves. So I want to give you an example, and again, things for us to think about. The formation of the state of Israel. The formation of the state of Israel is a significant event on the milestones or on the horizon of eschatology. And we'll talk about, does the Quran mention anything about this? And we can, inshallah, you can understand how difficult this is. I'll give you a passage of the Quran and how it can be understood in different ways. So just a bit of backstory. The Banu Israel, the Jews, they lived, obviously, as we know, Nabi Musa took them to Jerusalem and saved them from Fir'aun. And eventually they established themselves there. Nabi Dawood and Nabi Sulaiman became kings, and they were established a mighty kingdom. And they built a massive masjid, or the temple of Nabi Sulaiman was a huge structure, even built by jinn. Then after a while, the Banu Israel broke their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were invaded by the Babylonians or the Assyrians, and they destroyed the temple of Nabi Dawood, the masjid of Nabi Dawood, and they enslaved the entire Bani Israel and took them to Iraq. Then the Persians conquered the Babylonians and allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, and they re-established themselves a second time, but they were always under the control of another country. They were colonized by other rulers, and eventually they came under the rule of the Romans. And as we know, the time of Nabi Isa, the real Messiah, Nabi Isa was born where? Bethlehem, in Jerusalem. Well, in Palestine. And at the time, yes, there were Jews living there, but the rulers, the people in charge, were the Romans. And the Jews, of course, they rejected Nabi Isa. And subhanAllah, from our perspective, as a punishment, 70 years later, the Jews revolted. Bani Israel revolted against the Romans, and the Romans subjugated them and destroyed the second temple. So after the first temple was destroyed, they rebuilt a second one, and the Romans came in and destroyed the temple a second time. The only part of that the second temple that remained is what we call the Wailing Wall of today. The only part of the second temple still standing is the outside wall of... The first temple is gone. Nabi Sulaiman's masjid is gone. The second one completely destroyed, just a wall remained, and the Jews were expelled completely from Jerusalem. And that is why when the Muslims enter Jerusalem, many... 500 years later, there are no Jews there, because the Romans kicked them out completely. So just to understand the backstory of history. Now we turn to Surah Isra. Surah Isra, also called Surah Bani Israel. The other name of the Surah Isra is Surah Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that we ordained or we warned the children of Israel in the book, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that you will cause great mischief twice in the land, وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and you'll become haughty and arrogant, and you will commit oppression. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا, so when the first warning came to pass, بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي البأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا. When you transgressed the first time, Allah said, we sent against you some of our servants of great might, a mighty army against you, who destroyed even your homes, and this was a promise fulfilled by Allah, a warning that was fulfilled. Okay. ثم ردنا لكم القرة ثم رددنا لكم القرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. Then Allah says, we gave you a second chance, we repented to you, and we gave you strength and the upper hand, and we gave you wealth and children, and caused you to outnumber your enemy. Then after your repentance, we would give you the upper hand over them, and you became strong. Then Allah says, so you're now in a position of strength. In أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم. So if you are good, you are good for your own selves. وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. And if you are once again disobedient, then it's at your own loss. Now listen, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ And when the last of the two times come, لَيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ Your faces will become humiliated. وَلَيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ And they will enter the masjid as they did the first time. وَلِتُدَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْكَ تَدْبِيرًا And they will completely destroy that which you have made. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ Perhaps Allah will show mercy upon you. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا And if you go back to your ways, we will respond to you. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ الْكَافِرِينَ حَسِيرًا And we've made Jahannam a place for the, a confinement for the disbelievers. Right. So now, the vast majority of the ulama for the last 1,500 years, they said this ayat refers to the first destruction. That was the first time they disobeyed. And the army came and destroyed the first temple. Then they were given a second chance and they established themselves again. They built a second temple and then they rejected Nabi Isa. In fact, they tried to kill the Messiah. So Allah destroyed them for a second time and expelled them from Jerusalem. And the temple, the masjid, was destroyed twice. And that has been the standard interpretation for the last 1,400 years. Now in modern times, the ulama are re-looking at this ayah. Nothing is to say that Allah says, the first promise, كَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا The first of the transgression happened and it's gone. But Allah says, when the second one occurs, when the second time occurs, when you're given strength and you cause oppression in the land, then a group that entered the masjid the first time will re-enter it a second time. And so, mufassireen of now are re-looking at these ayat and saying, is this perhaps not an indication of a time now and not events of the past? Because even though they were able to build a second temple, they were never independent of a power. The only time they have been completely independent, a state of their own, is now, the last 70 years. And so, as the Mufassirin look at this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will enter the masjid as they did the first time. Right? Allah calls it a masjid. And Allah will, and whatever they will build on that masjid will be removed. Now, as we know, part of the eschatology, part of the push for Qiyamah from the Jewish side and the Christian side is Zionism, with the objective of re-establishing the state of Israel and building a temple, a third temple upon Masjid al-Aqsa. This is part of, not what we are saying, this is part of their belief. Christian Zionism, in fact the most ardent supporters of Israel are not actually Jews, are actually Christians. Why? Because they believe, Christian Zionists in particular, they believe that for Nabi Isa to come again a second time, they need to establish the state of Israel. And the Jews need to be there. And the temple must be rebuilt so that Nabi Isa can come at that point, even though they believe that he will destroy the Jews as well, he'll punish them. But this is to bring upon the second coming. So everybody is working. Muslims are working to Jerusalem. The Jews are working to Jerusalem. The Christians are working to Jerusalem. Nabi Isa will come and Dajjal will come in Jerusalem. And that is why the world is working towards a common destination. And the Messiah of the one side will be the Dajjal of the other. And the Messiah, the Masih of the one side will be the Antichrist of the other. And subhanAllah, this is what we look at. And look at the, now look at what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when the state of Jerusalem flourishes, it becomes center stage, and Medina is in ruins, Medina is in a backseat, then after that, the Malhama will occur. We spoke about the Malhama yesterday. And after the Malhama will be the conquest of Constantinople. And after the conquest of Constantinople will be the emergence of Dajjal. So we've already moved from Medina with Jerusalem being center stage. And what follows is the Malhama. And the pieces are falling into place. Allahu A'lam, it could be now, it could be tomorrow, it could be in a million years' time. Allahu A'lam. But these are interesting things to note. Now we shift to the 10 major signs. Slide is not, the hadith is not up, we'll add it tomorrow. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came upon the Sahaba and he heard them talking, and so he said, what are you guys discussing? And so they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are talking about the hour, Qiyamah. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Qiyamah will not happen, the big Qiyamah will not occur until there are 10 signs that you can count. And so he mentioned the smoke, Dajjal, the beast, the Daba, the beast, the rising of the sun from the west, the descent of Nabi Isa, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and three major earthquakes, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Middle East. And then the last of these signs will be a fire that will emerge from Yemen and will gather all the people to one location of where Qiyamah would be. So these are the 10 signs. Let's go through them again quickly. Dajjal, the descent of Nabi Isa, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the beast of the earth, a smoke that will cover the world, three landslides, three earthquakes, one, two, three, the sun rising from the west, and a fire which will gather all of humanity or the remainder of humanity. And by, we don't know the order of these signs, we don't know which is going to, how they're going to come, but basically if you study the signs of Qiyamah, it is with unanimous agreement that the first of these major signs is Dajjal. Dajjal will be the first of these major signs. And he's also, some of these signs we have no, we don't have much information, we don't know anything. Some of them are mentioned in the Quran, some of them are not mentioned in the Quran. Dajjal is a sign that is not mentioned in the Quran, but we have so many hadith about him. And as we said, even in the Christian tradition, you have the Antichrist. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no prophet from the beginning of time, from Nabi Adam, came except that they warned their people of the coming of Dajjal. From the time of the creation of Adam until the hour begins, there will never be a bigger, there will never be a bigger creation, a bigger threat to the creation than the Dajjal. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions on the Isra and the Mi'raj, subhanAllah, we, you know, on the Isra and the Mi'raj, he spoke to all the Anbiya. And one of the questions he asked every Nabi, he asked him, tell me about Qiyamah, is there anything that you know? And none of the Anbiya had anything extra to say except Nabi Isa. And Nabi Isa said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all I know is I need to go back and I need to fight with Dajjal. That is something that I can tell you is going to happen. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Dajjal would not appear amongst people until they forget about him, and until the imams stop mentioning him in the masjid. When last you heard the khutbah about Dajjal? Right? So, anyway, what does Dajjal mean? In fact, his Dajjal is not his name. It is a title. And it is a double title. It's Masih al-Dajjal. Dajjal is the biggest fraud, deception, the biggest form of deceit. So he is the false, the anti, the false Messiah. What is Messiah? Messiah is the anointed one, the chosen one. So he will be the fake Messiah. And that is what Dajjal basically, and his entire MO would be to deceive mankind. He will be the ones that people would think is the chosen Messiah, but he's of course the false Messiah. And he will, as we know from the other hadith, that he is will be the biggest test upon humanity. There will be no trial, no group of people will have a bigger test to the Iman than Dajjal. And the Nabi says to the Sahaba, if you were to hear of him, then run. If he comes to the one land, run away. Don't face him. Oh, Abu Bakr, you can't face him. No one's iman is strong enough to face up to Dajjal. He will be given. Now, why? Why will he be this? Have these things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him abilities and powers, like Allah had given Iblis a long life. He'll be given powers, such as the ability to cure the sick. You come to him, you terminal. And he says, if I cure your sickness, one touch, and all your disease will go. Will you believe I'm the Messiah? Will you believe I'm Isa? What are you going to say? Your child is dying. You're dying of starvation. And he says, I can bring the rain that comes down. I can bring the fruits to come forward. He will even be able to resurrect the dead. One instance, he'll be, and we'll talk about this, inshallah, at least one instance we know in the hadith where he will actually resurrect the dead. And he will deceive the world into following him. No one alive at the time will be able to escape his fitna. No one would escape him. And that is why we should all make dua. And that's why, subhanAllah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his dua after salah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam, protect me from jahannam, wa adhab al-qabr, and the punishment of the qabr, wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, and the tribulations of life and death, wa min sharri fitnat al-masih al-dajjal, and the most difficult fitna of al-dajjal. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua for protection against him. So, we said Dajjal will be the first of the 10 major signs of Qiyamah. And while the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned Dajjal, he did not know exactly when, where, or how he would emerge. In fact, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a young boy who they were suspecting could be Dajjal. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a young boy called Ibn Sayyad, who was a strange person, who had special abilities. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba wondered, is this boy Dajjal? And so we have a hadith in Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, where Sayyidina Umar and the Nabi Sallam are watching this boy. He's sleeping. Ibn Sayyad is sleeping. And then Nabi Sallam is observing him. And then he wakes up. And so the Nabi Sallam goes to him and says, oh, Ibn Sayyad, do you bear witness that I am the Rasulullah? Oh, Ibn Sayyad, do you bear witness? And so Ibn Sayyad looked towards the Nabi Sallam and says, I bear witness that you are the messenger of the unlettered ones. And then he says to the Nabi Sallam, this boy, he says to the Nabi Sallam, do you bear witness that I'm a messenger of Allah? And so the Prophet Sallam says to Ibn Sayyad, I bear witness that I believe in Allah and I believe in the messengers of Allah. Then the Nabi says, I am keeping, Allah has sent me revelation. I'm keeping something in my mind. What is it that you know? What do you know? And so he said, Ibn Siyad was thinking, and he says, duh, duh. In reality, the Nabi Sallam was having in his mind Surah Al-Dukhan, the Surah of the Smoke, which is also one of the signs of Qiyamah, Al-Dukhan, but Ibn Siyad only knew a piece. He didn't know the full word. And so the Prophet says, so you are disgraced and dishonored, and your rank is as it is. You are not that one. You are not, you have some abilities. You know part of the story, but you are not the Dajjal. So Sayyidina Umar said, and you know Sayyidina Umar by now, if you study the seerah, his go-to tactic, Ya Rasulullah, let me separate the head from this person. And the Nabi says, oh Umar, if he's not Dajjal, then you'd be killing an innocent person. And if he is Dajjal, there's no use. You're not going to be able to overpower him, so leave him. And so Ibn Sayyad was this strange individual who had some ability amongst the jinn, and eventually people avoided him and assumed that we don't know if he's going to be Dajjal or not. We fast forward a little bit, we end up with this interesting story. So, many, many years later, the Nabi has passed away. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, great Sahabi, he said, I was on my way from Medina to Makkah, making Umrah. And with us in the Jama'ah, in the Hajj group, was Ibn Sayyad. But now Ibn Sayyad's a big man. And everyone avoided him because of, you know, what we knew about him as a youngster, involved in jinn, and we were even worried he's Dajjal. So no one really accompanied him. And then eventually, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, I found myself sitting under the shade, and lo and behold, Ibn Sayyad is sitting next to me. And so Ibn Sayyad speaks to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and wants to share food with him. And Abu Sa'id says, you know, I'm not that hungry. And Ibn Sayyad realizes, you don't want to eat with me. You feel an aversion to share out of one plate. So Ibn Sayyad says to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, you are a companion of the Rasulullah sallam. How I wish I could just strangle myself and kill myself because of the way the people treat me. So he says, you of all people, Abu Sa'id, you know that they think I am Dajjal, but how can I be Dajjal? Dajjal will not be a Muslim, and I'm a Muslim. Dajjal will not enter Mecca or Medina. I've come from Medina, I'm going to Mecca. And he will not have children, I have children. So Abu Sa'id felt a little bit sadness, and he tried to warm up to Ibn Sayyad. But then Ibn Sayyad said to him, said to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, however, I am not the one that you think, but I know who he is, and I know where he is, and he's alive, and I know when he's going to come out. And so when Ibn Sayyad said that, Abu Sa'id said, just leave me alone, I want nothing to do with you. So is Dajjal alive and is he around? Inshallah, we discuss this tomorrow. Bi-ibnillah, bi-ibnillah. We'll continue with Dajjal tomorrow. May Allah protect us and grant us safety. Ameen, ameen. Last night's question, what is the name for the great war? What's the name? The Malhama. Malhama. And let's see. Thoban, Basir. Thoban is here? Okay, there we go. And for the sisters, Nazima Thebas. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Mubarak to both of you. And then tonight's question, who did the Sahaba suspect was Dajjal in their time? What was his name? Ibn Sayyad, Ibn Sinin, Ibn Sirin, Ibn Sa'id. Inshallah, easy one. And just a reminder, anyone who'd like to support our orphan program, please, 400 rand for one orphan, please, one family, one orphan, bi-ibnillah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad, wa al-alihi wa sahbihi sallam, wa al-salim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.